This podcast is intended for adult audiences only, and listener discretion is advised as we explore mature topics with a sex-positive and open-minded approach. So remember, the opinions expressed are personal and not professional. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Pineapple Express Podcast, your weekly dose of sex-positive vibes and open-minded conversations about swinging, sex work, and non-monogamy. Join us as we delve into the world of modern swingers, exploring relationships, pleasure, and empowerment. Each week, we will tackle controversial, sex-positive topics through the lens of a millennial swinger. Get ready to embrace the steamy and sensational journey ahead and ride along with us on the Pineapple Express. Welcome, welcome, Pineapple Expressers. So I'm so excited to share this podcast with you today. I have Kara. Kara is amazing. So Kara has over 20 years in the fitness industry and specializes in pelvic floor health and mobility. And during her time, she has seen firsthand how healing your relationship with your body can liberate you to be your most authentic self, which we're all about being our most authentic selves here at the Pineapple Express podcast. So Kara is a sex and intimacy coach. She owns her own gym, Push Fitness, and also has just taken a position with the Naughty Gym as their pelvic floor and mobility specialist, as well as their in-house sex and intimacy coach, which I love the Naughty Gym, and we talk a lot about the Naughty Gym, so prepare for that. But I loved having this conversation with Kara. I think you guys are going to love it too. One of the things that Kara said to me before even having this conversation was, first, I think it's important to understand that our issues with body image are a product of oppression and privilege. We tend to think that body image is our own individual problem to solve, but I have never met anyone who does not suffer from some kind of body image trouble. So in that way, we know it's a systemic problem, and we can't solve systemic or institutional problems on an individual basis alone. So she, you know, is amazing, and she talks about, you know, examining our own biases and privileges when it comes to, you know, healing our body image issues, and we are attracted to what we see most and befriend or follow people who don't look, you know, start befriending and following people who don't look like the beauty norm and practice finding beauty beyond the status quo. And you know, she talks about how research shows that attempts to change your body only work about 2 to 5% of the time. And bodies were made to come in all different shapes and sizes. And for partners of people in beautiful bodies that aren't the norm, show love and acceptance without fetishizing them. Appreciate the things about them that make them unique. Claim everyone publicly and not only behind closed doors, and acknowledge the oppression that we face and not gaslight people into thinking that it's the problem that's in our own heads, especially because this is something that we all struggle with. So this is a great, very vulnerable podcast. I tear up quite a few times, even having these conversations, because a lot of it is really triggering for me as a person who came from a larger body into a smaller body, and you know, in the lifestyle and in the swinger spaces. So I love that Kara and I are able to have this conversation, and I hope to continue to have more with her because I just absolutely loved it. So if you guys really like this podcast, you know, and you want more of this, we can talk about this more, dive deeper into this subject. And you know, I hope that you enjoy this podcast. It's not just for women. We talk a lot about men in this podcast as well, because Kara is in the same space as I am in working and helping men, working with them and helping them, you know, heal some of their body image issues as well. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and thanks for riding on the Pineapple Express with us. But before we get to the podcast, make sure that you listen to a word from our sponsors. So before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about the incredible support that I receive from all of my sponsors. As you all know, creating this podcast is a passion of mine, but it's also an endeavor that requires a lot of time and effort and resources to keep this show alive so that I can give you guys the content that you deserve on a weekly basis. So thank you to my sponsors so that we're able to focus on, you know, this educational content. And I love that they help cover the costs associated with hosting services, equipment upgrades, and sometimes fueling my coffee addiction to keep my creative juices flowing. I'm kind of kidding there, but not really. But more than just financial support, our sponsors are companies and brands that I truly believe in. They offer products and services that I think that you guys, my very valued listeners, can benefit from. And I would never endorse something that I didn't truly believe in myself. So when you hear me mention our sponsors, know that these shout outs aren't just a formality. They're a testament to the effort that we bring to this show and the ears of this episode and all of my episodes. So by supporting them, and you're supporting us and you're supporting this podcast in a real way. And this is so that we're able to have these conversations, share stories, and of course, build community. So stay tuned for our sponsor segment right now. And, you know, check out all these unique promo codes, discounts, and offers that they've provided exclusively for you guys. It's a win-win. You get a great deal and you're also directly contributing to the longevity of my podcast. So as always, thank you guys for listening and a massive thank you to all of my sponsors. Hey, Upside Down Pineapple people. Join the millions of couples enjoying amazing sex with Promescent. I personally love the variety of products they offer, and their aloe-based lube is the only lube I've ever used that doesn't throw off my pH. Brad loves their delay spray, which is clinically proven to help men last longer in bed. Their products have a 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping on orders in the U.S. over $10. Their shipping is discreet and private, which is perfect for us in the swinger lifestyle. Make sure that you go to www.promescent.com/Kylie for all your discreet sexual health needs. My link is in the show notes. Promescent helps you live your best upside-down pineapple life.
Anxiety can cause ED, like the kind you get while watching your partner with someone else. You're having the time of your life, yet are having stage fright. Most men in the lifestyle use prescription ED medication for this reason. Shameless Care should be your provider. Shameless is less expensive than other companies and has a 50-state network of physicians who are lifestyle-friendly. Use coupon code CHIC, that's C-H-I-C, for $30 off. ShamelessCare.com.
Are you exploring the expansive world of relationships and seeking a path that honors your true self? Discover Conscious Love Connections, your compass to navigating non-monogamous and sex-positive intimacy and relationships with confidence and care. At Conscious Love Connections, we cater to all relationship styles, swinging, non-monogamy, polyamory, specifically single men, but everyone is welcome. It's a judgment-free zone because we know that love in all its forms deserves to be celebrated. My coaching isn't just about embracing your sexuality. It's about deepening your intimacy, communication, boundaries, and understanding. Conscious Love Connections is here to empower you in creating relationships that reflect all of your values and desires. Join me for workshops, one-on-one sessions, couple sessions, or even intimate group sessions. And I also offer a monthly peer support group for swingers. Together, we're going to create a safe space for learning and growth where you can flourish in your partnership or with all of your partnerships. Don't wait to begin your journey. Visit my website at consciousloveconnections.com and step into a world where love knows no bounds. Tune into, obviously, this podcast series and learn more about my coaching and my coaching style and help create tools to live your most authentic life. Conscious Love Connections, because love should be as limitless as the stars. Hey there, Pineapple Expressers. Are you seeking a splash of excitement in your dating life? Well, get ready for triple, quadruple, or even an orgy of fun with ThreeFun, the leading dating app for open-minded singles and couples. Are you interested in exploring the swinger or polyamorous relationships? Maybe you're a couple looking to add some variety to the bedroom. Whatever your preference, ThreeFun is designed to connect you with like-minded individuals who embrace open relationships in all forms. Dip your toes into the dating pool where judgment is left at the door and freedom of expression is the norm. With ThreeFun, you'll discover a community that values consent, respect, and the pursuit of pleasure in all forms. As a millennial swinger, I love how user-friendly ThreeFun is, and signing up is easy and discreet. You can customize your profile, set your preferences, and when you're ready to embark on your journey filled with thrills and connections, start sharing with other individuals, all in one simple swipe. Safety is the top priority for ThreeFun. With private photo albums and the latest security features, your personal information stays just that, personal. You're in control of your experience at all times. So why wait for excitement to find you? Download ThreeFun today. There's a link in my show notes and join the largest community where fantasies come alive. ThreeFun, let your curiosity roam free, and who knows, you might just find that trio or that couple of chemistry you've been searching for. Introducing the Sultry Vixen, your one-stop shop for all your sex work and rave wear needs. Whether you're hitting the pole or the festival scene, the Sultry Vixen has got you covered. From dance shoes to box outfits, custom dance outfits, and lingerie to vibrant festival outfits, they've got the perfect gear to make you shine. Stand out with their neon rave accessories and all of their costumes that will take your festival experience to the next level. And they also carry men's and plus sizes. They are a family-owned and operated ravewear slash dancewear shop located in Riverside, California. The quickest way to reach them is directly through their Instagram. Visit thesultryvixen.com today for the hottest trends in dance and rave fashion. Dance more and glow more with the Sultry Vixen. Hey, Pineapple Expressers, welcome. So I have an amazing guest with us today. Her name is Cara, and Cara has over 20 years in the fitness industry and specializes in pelvic floor health and mobility, which we're not going to really dive too deep into today, but we are going to at some point, you know, in later podcasts. So during that time, she has seen firsthand how healing your relationship with your body can liberate you to be your most authentic self. And in the past few years, Cara has utilized her master's in feminist anthropology. Wow, that's a long word. To dive deeper into how people do modern day relationships, and has become a sex and intimacy coach. Welcome. So tell me in your words a little bit about yourself and your kind of where you're at in the swinger spaces, right? Because this is a swinger podcast.
Yes. So, yeah. So, thank you for having me on. I'm so grateful to be in community with you. I'm only about 2 years into my non-monogamy journey. And when we first started off, I wasn't really sure like what I wanted to do. Like, so I got on the apps and we did like separate dating first. And then we just kind of, it was like a whole exploration process. And ended up in the swinger world. I found the Naughty Gym, which has been such an amazing community. And I swear I really felt like I found my people. And that has been sort of where we've stayed for now. And I, you know, like I feel like with relationships, when you're exploring different kinds of relationships, it's a lifelong process. Like we'll always be exploring. But ironically, it was in the swinger spaces where I have felt most challenged with when it comes to my body image.
Interesting. Same.
Yeah. I feel like when I was on the apps, initially as a woman, a person identifying as a woman, you can just like clean up on the apps, right? Like you're just constantly weeding through, you get more messages than you know what to do with. Which, you know, there's a downside to that too. But then when it came to swinging, I found myself in these comparison modes all the time, especially when it comes to my husband. I was actually comparing my body to his, and like Because, you know, and you posted something recently, actually, that was like, you know, basically like my greatest fear of like when somebody shows like says, oh, hey, I'm interested in playing. And then they see me and they're like, oh, somebody's going to have to take one for the team. Mm-hmm. And I never want to feel that way.
Absolutely. And so I post stuff like that because I think there's a humor element to it, right? Like we have to kind of laugh at ourselves in the community. And a lot of us know, like, okay, yes, this is a thing because there sometimes can be mismatched couples that don't match with you. But that's a whole part of it, is like that four-way connection. And I think that it can be kind of triggering for people in the sense that, like, oh my God, am I that person? You know, and I felt that way too. You know, when I started in the lifestyle, I was 280 pounds, beautiful then and beautiful now, right? But when I started, that was something that I struggled with as well, was feeling like next to my partner, not feeling like as like good enough, or that we were being turned down by people because of my size. So I totally understand that. And I think that, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's hard to work through those feelings, but it's great to have communities like the Naughty Gym to kind of like talk to people like, you know, about that for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I actually wrote my master's thesis on this, and was the dichotomy, or like the opposites of the fitness industry versus fitness. So like when I think of fitness itself, it's so good for you, right? I've seen my clients like absolutely better themselves, like mentally, emotionally, and physically through fitness. But the fitness industry is toxic as hell. Like it's tends to be very racist, homophobic, transphobic, hypermasculine, hyperfeminine. Like it's based a lot on shaming people about their bodies in order to, you know, spend more money or, you know, do this program or that. And I see some similarities in the swinger community, right? Like when you look at, like when I look at what I see online and the images versus my experiences, like naked on a beach or wearing my sluttiest lingerie in a sex club, like they don't match to me. Mm-hmm. Like the actual experiences I've had are very different from the representation that I see in the industry itself.
Yeah, I've delved into this topic pretty, because I've been in swinger spaces online with swinger communities online who are content creators, which I just want to say to all of the people listening right now, it is an industry. Like they're trying to get you to go to their OnlyFans, and they're trying to get you to buy their affiliate products, and they're glamorizing the lifestyle. And that is not the experience that I've had at events, but it's my experience being in the swinger space as a content creator. And I think it's really important that we have these conversations, because we're glamorizing this persona of what people are supposed to look like. And that's not really what they look like.
Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we shut people out, which hurts everybody. Right. Like we lose the opportunity to interact with some really amazing people, and then they don't feel comfortable coming into those spaces. And so it's toxic for everyone.
Even though, you know, I think that the big word is destigmatize, right? So we're trying to destigmatize lifestyle, but in doing that, I almost feel like it's been a catch-22. So this social media kind of push, right? And this content creator kind of push, it's been kind of a catch-22, because yes, we've gotten more people to experience the lifestyle and learn that this is who they are and be in these sexually free environments, but you're also pushing a lot of people away because they don't feel good enough or worthy enough, because they're not privileged to have these plastic surgeries and these beautiful outfits and these hair extensions and like, you know, this very glamorized version of people that's just not equitable. Like not everybody has the privilege for that money has the money and that privilege. And I think that we're almost like pushing people away in a sense. Mm-hmm. So I can agree with that for sure. Yeah. So what do you think that like the swinger community can do to like promote positivity and acceptance? And this isn't just online, but I think even at events or even within the smaller swinger communities, like how can we promote body acceptance?
So the very, very, very first thing that comes to mind is representation. Representation is important in the swinger world for two reasons. First is that we as human animals tend to be the most attracted to what we see. And if we only see one version of beauty, that is what's ingrained in our brains as what we are like, what we should be and what we should search for. The other reason is that if we don't see people who look like us in certain spaces, we don't feel welcome. So we shut people out when we don't have good representation. And like I feel so lucky to have found the Naughty Gym early on. I might gush about them a couple times.
You're allowed. You can talk about them as much as you want.
But like I like finding that community, I was honestly a little worried because I was like, okay, I have these biases about what the swinger community is. And then now I'm going into a fitness space and layering that on top of these other ideas I had. And when they were promoting their Be Better at Being Bad hedonism takeover, it was Scott that said in all of their podcasts, you do not have to be a hard body to join. And I know that's such a like a simple, easy, like little thing, but for me, I'm hearing from the person that has the most privilege in the room that every body is accepted here was sort of like a salve on a wound, right? Like, because, when I think of fat phobia and body image issues and shame as a form of oppression, I think. And so when we experience that throughout our lives and we hear someone who has the privilege saying, it's sort of like them taking you under your wings. And so I think that that was something. And then when they had the event, I was there at Hedo. I actually had the opportunity to present on the pelvic floor and body image while I was there, which was super exciting. But they invited in people of color and people in bigger bodies to do a lot of these presentations. And I think that was so key and so important for people to feel comfortable in embracing their bodies like exactly how they are.
Yeah, and the thing about the Naughty Gym, and yes, we can gush about them all day because I just love them. And I remember feeling similar feelings when I first, I was like, oh, there's this very attractive, couple who just, but then after one time talking with them and listening to them, I was like, wait a second. They actually like walk the walk as well. They don't just talk the talk and say, oh, this is an inclusive body positive space. Like, no, it truly, truly is. And I think that we need more of that. And, I think one of the things that I've expressed to the community, and this is like I've sat in rooms with like event owners, and I've looked them in the face and I've said, it is your imaging. And that is the first issue. You have 20-year-old blonde models on all of your imaging campaigns. Come to this event, come to that event. And that is not, there is not 20-year-old blonde models at your event. There's all diverse types of people with lots of beautiful body parts and different colors and different sizes and shapes. And we should be seeing more of that imaging. And would you agree with that? Like that could be a step that we could take.
Yeah, and honestly, for these event and like space owners, it's just good business. Like if you are saying like, hey, like I mean, the average woman in the United States is what, like a size 14, 16. So like if you choose images that make those people feel shut out, you are losing an entire group that would pay you money to be at your spaces, right? If like, I mean, you think about like the diversity, like in race as well. Like if you are not using images that show like people of all different varieties coming into these spaces, you're literally losing business. You're leaving it on the table. And for what? In order to kind of satisfy this like desirability politics that are happening in our world, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's where, and also you have to remember that a lot of these organizations and a lot of these event companies are run by white privileged middle-aged white men who think, I want hot 20-year-old girls at my parties, so I'm going to show this imaging, right? And you're losing out on so many people who are so beautiful and flourishing, and it almost makes the community itself look like superficial in a way, and we're not. Like, that is the exact opposite of my personal experience in the lifestyle. My experience is way different than that. So yeah, that would be my call, one of my calls to action, of course, for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Representation and making things as accessible as possible, which, you know, like we talked about this a little bit, but like having scholarship programs, having, you know, ways to make the events more accessible in general. But I think it has to start with representation. And I guess I'm not really sure exactly how to start these conversations in the lifestyle, but asking people to examine their own biases, right? Like your internal biases, and then talking about ways that like privileges can like show up in your spaces. So
yeah, and I think that includes, because a lot of times when we think about privilege, we think about, you know, marginalized groups, right? But we also have to remember that people who are plus size are also a marginalized group. They do not have pretty privilege, which pretty privilege is a thing. It is absolutely a thing. As a person who used to weigh 280 pounds and now weighs 150 pounds, I can 100% tell you that pretty privilege has, oh my God, and thin privilege, right? So these are things that we don't really think about when we think about marginalized groups, but that's part of the bias. And for me personally, what I've done, not only in my biases, you know, for anti-racism and all that, is I read a lot of books. I do a lot of work. Heal Thyself is one of them. I've talked about that, and different books like that, to really help figure out and journal and prompt and think about it, these feelings and where this comes from. And it's a lot of work, but in the end, it's worth it. And if you're an event owner or a community, somebody that's an ambassador of the community, this is the work that we should be doing. We owe it to our community.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm so, thank you so much for doing that work. Cause like I'm someone, I've had almost the opposite journey. I started in a thinner body. I still always struggled with like eating disorders and body image issues. But then as I got older, you know, like I had children and my body changed, and I felt the difference on how I was treated when my body changed. And so like when I go into spaces, I do like to think about the intersectionality of all my identities, right? Like I'm a white woman. So as a woman, I experience oppression, but as a white person, I have a lot of privilege. Mm-hmm. I am hetero passing. And so I have privilege when it comes to that. I'm in a larger body for the fitness industry. So I have experienced a lack of opportunities in the fitness industry because of how my body looks. But then in society at large, I'm pretty average. And so I experience privilege there. And so, you know, like I, if you think about yourself, if you kind of like break it down, you can, when you step into a room, it helps you know, like, who can I listen to and learn from because of my own privileges? And then where can I voice like my own oppressions so that other people can start to understand? And then where can I be an ally? Cause like as a white person, you all have a lot of opportunities a lot of the time to help, make space for the voices that aren't heard as often.
Right. And that's, you know, as a sex worker, I try to have these conversations a lot too. And it's very challenging, right? Because I think that, yeah, it's a very challenging conversation to have right now. But hopefully, as time goes on and as time passes, you know, we can start to have these conversations without that being so triggered. For example, like anytime I have conversations about, you know, equitability and you know, just creating safe spaces for even for gender, like, you know, that non-heteronormativity and non, you know, gendered roles within these communities, people, even with that, and a lot of people in the lifestyle are themselves bisexual or identify as part of the LGBTQIA+. So, and they're still like triggered by that. So it's like we are starting from the bottom, but I think that we're going to create a different lifestyle journey for a lot of people. And as millennials are coming in, we're very much centered in that culture of, you know, anti-racism, diversity, making it equitable for people, you know. So I think that it's great to have these conversations. And I think starting with the body is really helpful. So can you talk about like any time you've ever experienced or witnessed body shaming within the swinger lifestyle? And how was it addressed? And what do you think that we can do better next time to address something like this?
So, it's sort of interesting because like oppression happens on different levels, right? Like it happens personally. So like within yourself and your own biases, it happens interpersonally. So like somebody is telling you you're not good enough or you suck. And then it happens like systemically and institutionally. And I have not experienced body shaming, like personally. Interpersonally, I have heard some people like comment. Ironically, it was someone commenting on like shaming people for having plastic surgery. And, you know, like for me, like I want to be body positive, and I'm going to talk, I hope to talk about like why I don't coach weight loss to my fitness clients. But that does not mean that I have the right to judge you for the decisions that you make about your body. Those are deeply personal and they're none of my business. And so like, if you have a goal, I want to support you in that goal. I am still going to talk about how diets at their very core are built on a foundation of racism. But I am not saying you are racist for wanting to diet, because we are all swimming in this pool, right? Like most of us don't even know that is the foundation of a lot of weight loss.
right. And
it's sort of a tricky conversation to have. Right. So I haven't really seen it, but I've seen the whole systemic and institutional, like I was, when I teach this in the fitness industry, I always have people Google fitness and then hit images and be like, this is what you need to see. Like this is where like we are experiencing that oppression because of what we're seeing here. And I haven't done it for swingers yet. I kind of want to do it right now. Do you have your phone?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to do it with me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going on Google. I'm going to type in swingers.
Oh, I'm nervous.
I know. And then hit images. Okay. So we see a lot of thin white people, mm-hmm. a lot of female, male, female. Here mm-hmm. we go. Okay. I didn't have to scroll that far down to find someone black.
I agree. That's not being fetishized though.
No,
because
exactly.
I see here that it looks like there's a lot of imaging of that BBC culture and that fetishization. I do see quite a few images of that, but I don't. Yeah, I didn't scroll too far to see a woman of color.
Yeah, and actually, I haven't seen anyone in a larger body on my feed.
I do not see anyone. Yeah, and so, they all look very fit, very, the men look very muscular, the women look very thin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's where So like while maybe like I haven't experienced it like personally where someone has said or done something to me, it's that kind of imaging and that like where when I'm like as like fit pretty much a newbie, right? That I'm like, okay, I want to try this because this feels best in my relationship. Swinging feels best in my relationship right now. And I go and look online and that's the stuff that I see. That feels like, a personal attack.
Right. Or
And
you go, you can do the same thing on TikTok. You can do the same thing on Instagram. You can do the same thing on Twitter. Any social media space, you're going to see the same thing. I do want to circle back to the plastic surgery comments because this has been something that I personally have struggled with for a long time within these spaces because I'm a public figure in the swinger community on social media. It seems as though a lot of my peers have what looks like to me, just from an outsider looking in, gone to the peer pressure of getting the plastic surgeries. It feels like at a lot of the events that I go to, it's kind of the norm to like have a mommy makeover and have, plastic surgery specifically in women, not specifically in men. So this was something that I personally had to check my bias about because I was at one point one of those people who was not shaming, but like almost like I just didn't feel like you could be body positive and talk about how you're body positive. And then on top of that, like you're just going and getting plastic surgery, especially it, because that comes from a place of privilege because it's expensive, So I had to check my bias with that one and really dig deep. Why am I triggered by this? Well, I'm triggered by this because, I've chosen to be natural and I lost a lot of weight. So I do have some parts of my body that I would, of course, love to change. But I think for me, it's checking that bias and realizing I can't be body positive. I have to be body positive about everybody's choice for their own bodies. This is similar to like the concept of feminism, right? Like, feminism is not, I hate men. I hate, feminism is accepting that all women are going to do, should be allowed to do what they want to do with their bodies and with their life. And if that's staying at home and cooking for a man and, living in that sort of heteronormative society, that is their choice. Same thing. It is somebody's choice to get plastic surgery. And if that's what makes them feel good, my one caveat to that is make sure that we deal with that inner stuff too. Because I'm also in the sex work industry and I see this a lot. These women get a abundance of plastic surgery and they'll still look at me and say, God, I want to get this done and that done. And they just don't feel good enough. And it's almost like this cycle. So, my hope for people who do decide to do something like that is also working on the interpersonal stuff so that maybe we can heal our body, our body, ex we can accept our bodies as the way that they are as opposed to changing them, which, is not a bad thing inherently. But I do you get what I'm saying? Like,
Absolutely. And I go through this all the time because I am a body positive, health at every size fitness coach. And so I talk all the time about like how all of our bodies come the way they come. And not all of those bodies fit the beauty standard that is ever changing and shifting in our society. And like, so how can we like learn to accept ourselves and respect our choice, each other's choices to do what they want with their bodies. 'Cause like, I think for me, I'm always like, if somebody it has like a big weight loss, I'm like, I want to support you and respect your decision. And I want to tell you that you were just as worthy and just as beautiful at your larger size as you are now. And I think that, like right now, that's kind of where I landed. It's like,
is having that same mindset of, you know, especially like, so growing up, I'm a millennial. I'm 32, almost 33 years old. So growing up, I think a lot of people within our age bracket, I know you're probably similar in age to me, grew up in a society of that thinness was just like extreme thinness, right? Like I remember hearing, you know, stories of like these, if you were over 100 pounds, you couldn't get into these Hollywood parties, right? Like I had images of Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton and those, you know, Keira Knightley in front of my treadmill, and I would work out as a 15-year-old girl for several hours a day and eating disorders and all of that because of that imaging that I saw. And that was, I feel like, almost kind of traumatic for our age bracket, right? Is like this kind of standard of beauty that was so unattainable for so many different reasons, right? Like genetics play a role, like and then we moved into this space in the 2010s up till now. And then I think we're moving, you know, back toward that extreme thinness with Ozempic and all that. But
yes.
But like it was like this, okay, if you didn't have a big butt in this hourglass figure, then you were not accepted in society. So then we have all these women going and getting BBLs and breast surgeries and liposuctions and all this to fit in with these beauty standards. And so I think that that has a lot to do with it is societally, what is the beauty standard, even within our small communities and something like swinging where it is very visual. I think that it's pretty common and normal for people to really like look around and say, I want to look like this person or that person, and I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of somebody's attention and time and sex, something as, you know, vulnerable as sex to say, oh, I'm not good enough for this because I don't have the beauty standard body, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that I tend to struggle in swinger spaces because like we talk about those, that beauty standards, the same, it's, you know, men have their own standard. And in my relationship with my husband, like he is like the standard for men. Like he has always had a six pack. He's got a big chest, big shoulders, big arms, like developed, like he's just like, he's sort of physically, you know, the, like the male ideal for our current standard. And so people are asking him all the time, like what workouts he does and stuff like that. And I always get a good giggle out of it because most of the time he's like, I do the workouts that she programs for me. And we do a lot of the same stuff, but like he's that standard, but I'm not. And like, I think that we need to, like, when we think about the standard, we really need to think about like what, like why we're attracted to certain things ourselves too. 'Cause like we're pack animals, like evolutionary, like we developed to be in community with one another. Like that's how we survived to be the human race that we are now. So we always want to conform and fit in. It's just part of our nature. Mm-hmm. And so when there are these standards, we know that if we have a partner that is closer to that standard, then we will be more accepted. If we are closer to that standard, we will be more accepted. And so for me, it's helpful to think about that as like this shame that I feel in my body doesn't really belong to me. It's part of this like systemic problem. It's not my own personal problem. Like it is born of the clash of, you know, colonialism, patriarchy, and desirability politics. It's not necessarily that it's like that I'm wrong for wanting what I want or for having the body that I have.
Yeah. And it's also an industry. It's funny when you were talking about the fitness industry and how it can be toxic in a lot of ways. I was like, wait, is she talking about the fitness industry or the swinger industry? 'Cause it just sounded so similar, you know, because I think that in a sense it can be, you know, we are run by patriarchal and colonial kind of values. And that kind of brings me to my next question is, and this is like triggering for me, so you have to understand that just because I've been in these spaces, but this, the social media question, which we kind of already talked a little bit about, but like, how do you think social media has really affected a lot of this imaging and a lot of this body desirability type politics within the swinger community?
Yeah. So this one is a little harder for me to answer because I feel like I'm still pretty new. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Ozempic. I think that for a while, like as a society as a whole, we were starting to really trend towards more body acceptance. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of actual scientific research out there that showed that diets don't work. They work, you know, between 2 and 5% of the time. And 2/3 of the time, people who gain their weight back gain more weight back than they lost. And so it's not a super sustainable practice. It can be really harmful on the body. And like, I think that more people were starting to see that. And then there was another research study that came out that also showed that having more fat on your body can be protective against a ton of different diseases. And it was sort of funny because like the people who were doing the research, they couldn't even like really say this is what it is. They called it the obesity paradox. Like, oh, so, you know, we all know that fat is bad, but we're going to say that in these 60 instances, it's a paradox, or, you know, and like, and so, but then Ozempic came along, and which, you know, has really changed a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that a lot of times those people, like our health improves and our lives change when we lose weight because we are not subject to the oppression that we were before. Yeah. Like oppression itself causes stress, which causes inflammation, which causes health problems. Yeah. And so, which is why, like, you know, you see so many correlations between obesity and different diseases. And I hate that word obesity, but that's the what they use in the research. But so they can never show scientifically a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
They can only show a correlation. And that's because the thing that's actually causing those health issues is freaking stress. Mm-hmm. It's the stress of being oppressed. Mm-hmm. And so when people are losing weight with these new, like really successful drugs, they are having this weight lifted off of them of not having to experience the suppression that they were before. And that's a real thing. It does help people get healthier, but not, I would argue, not in the way we think.
Right. And as somebody who has, so I had gastric bypass surgery, and which is, it's very different. Because like I it never goes away, right? Like I don't stop taking a drug and then you know, like it's always there. But you know, I got it for health reasons. I had really, really fucked up stomach. Like it was just very bad and pre-diabetic and all those things. But I think definitely I see a huge difference in everything in my life and my quality of life. Is so much better now because I have that privilege, you know. And I think that that's something that we don't really talk about or think about is that thin privilege. And And I even struggle with the Ozempic thing, right? Because I'm like, well, I could stand to lose, you know, 15 or, and then on top of that, you know, being in the sex work industry, you know, doesn't help either. So it's like, oh yeah. And I've even caught myself looking up ways to get Ozempic, right, without a doctor's approval, because you can. And you can get it through like different you know, med spas and stuff and pay for it out of pocket, because a doctor at my weight now wouldn't approve that. But like, that's, that goes to show you really how that push first really affects you mentally. And I think I'll always be that heavier girl who was oppressed for so long. And I'll always have that mindset that I, like, even though for 3 years I've been in a thinner body, I'm still always going to have that mindset. Like, I'm not good enough because of my weight, no matter if it fluctuates 5 pounds or 10 pounds, it's never going to be good enough for me because I never felt good enough then. And I think that a lot of people who have this surgery struggle with that. So learning to accept my body for what it is, not just as a swinger, but as a female, is the most important thing that's worked most for me, is just like, you know what? I dress for myself. I, my body is for me. And I don't have to change that because, like, I'm healthy. I'm wonderful the way that I was. And I was wonderful then too. So, but I feel that. And, I think with social media, I think we need to start, as ambassadors and people who are on social media, we need to start really talking about that acceptance of each other and of our bodies. And because it helps when more women see a natural body that looks like theirs, you know, with their stretch marks, and it helps them also feel better, you know?
Yeah. In the sex industry and the swinger lifestyle industry, it can be so tricky. 'Cause like in the fitness industry, like I can focus on like, hey, how you look is the least interesting thing about you, right? It's about who you are. And then like, we can focus on what your body can do, you know? And in like sex or swinger industry, like a lot of, it's like, well, you know, sure, like I can give like the best hand jobs ever. And like, sure. You know, but we care more about how we look because we want people to desire us. We want to desire other people. And so having to navigate that can be really tricky. And I think that it can be so healing to see more people in diverse body types, and not just for the people, not just for people identifying as women. Like we get it the most, right? We get the most pressure. But like also for people identifying as men, because
yes. Oh, it, please, you know, talk about this. Please, men, listen.
Because it not only like gives them, like they can start seeing beauty as a symphony instead of a single note. And that's eye-opening. But they also can feel less pressure themselves. Like they have more privilege, but they are not exempt from feeling bad about their bodies. They're not exempt from a lot of these like very toxic masculine stereotypes that they should reach. And so I think that in general, if we start really actively seeking out following content creators that are not the norm, like, can we I follow a couple of sex educators that I absolutely love that are in larger bodies, people of color, different abilities, because I want to also for myself see beauty as a symphony. Like I want to learn from people who have like accept and enjoy and love like all of these parts of themselves without feeling like they need to change, or, and maybe they do, maybe they feel like those same pressures, but just them showing up in that the spaces feels so validating. And so I think that if we, you know, the more we can diversify our feed, the better.
Agreed. And, you know, back to the conversation on men, I think men almost have it a little worse when it comes to body acceptance. And I say that because they still deal with all of the same types of, you know, beauty standards. And beauty is not the right word, but I guess, you know, fitness would probably be a better term, fitness standards. And a lot of the men in the lifestyle do tend to use enhancements in terms of like testosterone and, you know, maybe even sometimes steroids or something like that. And I think that they still deal with that pressure, right? So that's similar to like using plastic surgery or Ozempic for women. And then they deal with, they don't have people to talk about this with, like me and you, who are women, we identify as women. We are able to have these conversations more because that's just the way that society has, you know, kind of created. Women are more emotional and they talk about their feelings with each other, and men don't have those spaces. On top of that, they're also dealing with the pressure of their, you know, penises to be a certain size, and that they're not accepted unless they have an 8-inch dick. And I promise you, that's not true, but they don't know that because that's how they were socialized. So in their brains, this is like one of the top questions that I get. Am I going to be able to please a woman with an average size cock? And so they deal with a lot of pressures as well, but they don't have any spaces where they feel safe to talk about that. So I did want to call men out and let them know that, like, we're here for you to heal that. You know, even though we're women, you can still talk to us. But I know a lot of guys reach out to my husband specifically about this, like, because they don't have anybody.
Yeah. Well, and I need to give a shout out to the Naughty Gym again. But at their event in Hedel, one of the first things that they did was they broke up the men and women into two groups, and they had shots with Scott and mimosas with April. And both of those groups were about creating connection and with each other. Like, cause you know, like for the women, a lot of times, you know, you feel sort of threatened. Like for me in swinger spaces, I feel most threatened by a woman that I don't know or have never talked to or gotten to know. I would so much rather Matt fuck my friends, right? Like I just, like, but with the men, they developed this sense of community within that space, and they still talk to each other. They'll reach out and be like, oh, there was this thing I'm feeling a little like sticky about. Can I talk to you about it? You have space for a conversation. And I just love that because it allows for this vulnerability and like this tearing down of those like stiff walls that I think men feel like they have to always keep up to like keep up these appearances of being like the strong masculine. And really, you know, like a lot of the things that I'm most attracted to in men is when they can be vulnerable. And I see that vulnerability happening within that group. And I just think it's so lovely and just should happen more often because, and it comes back to that sense of community, right? Mm-hmm. Like I want to seek out and create community connections with more people that I can have those kinds of relationships with, right?
And I think that we're moving more toward that. And that is my hope and my goal within creating my own communities, because for a really long time, I was a part of separate communities that really were saying that they were this community and this, you know, safe space. But then when I would bring up conversations like this, like that we're having, it didn't feel safe for me. So I felt as though it was important for me to move past that and start to create my own spaces that are all non-monogamous spaces, right? Because I think that we can learn a lot from the kink and polyamory community, specifically when it comes to body diversity, marginalized groups, and being diverse in that kind of aspect, right? So that's why it was important to me to start creating these communities, because I think that creating communities like this not only benefits men and women, but it benefits everybody. It benefits people who identify as men and women, you know, like it's so, and within the swingers culture, it's very heteronormative, right? It's a little different than the polyamorous community. And, you know, we did our first event this past weekend, and it was at a LGBTQIA plus friendly space. My husband, being a straight cis hetero male, was the outcast in this space. and he felt something. And I had to take him outside and have a conversation with him. And he was like, I feel like everybody, a lot of these people don't like me, that they hate me. And I said to him, I was like, it's not that, baby. It's that men, cis hetero men, have been the ones who have been affected by the most within society, within that internalized hate. So they have that fear, and you have to let them know that you're an ally, and that I know that you love all types of people and that you're an ally to everybody, but they don't know that. So create space for them to trust you. And that kind of clicked with him. But I thought that that was really beautiful too, was like, swingers were not, the spaces that we're in are very different and not quite as diverse as we would like them to be. And that's one of the things that are going to start showing up once we start, you know, diversifying these spaces, is that people are going to start to feel uncomfortable, but we just have to sit in that and know that it's not our fault that we're uncomfortable, but also we're going to work through that together.
Yeah. And it gives us a taste of what it's like to be in someone's shoes too. We've experienced that. My husband is not only a white man, but he's also bald. And we, after George Floyd happened, we would go to a lot of protests. And when he would show up, people would be like, we live in Oregon too. There's a lot of Proud Boys out here. People would be kind of like on guard.
I can see that. Yeah.
This man that, you know, and, you know, eventually people got to know us and know, you know, that he was with us, not, you know, but, and he would wear shirts that would be very like anti-racist, but it was interesting. And it was like his first taste of feeling like, oh, this is how I make people feel because of their experience with other people who look like me. And how can I try to do better or take up less space? Or when I do take up space, make sure that it's in a way that I'm supporting and being an ally. Like it's a whole thing. And it's nobody's fault if we're uncomfortable, right? And when we're exploring our own biases, it is really uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean that we're a bad person. It just means we haven't done the work yet, or that we are doing work. And when we lean into that, I think that we can really find like authentic community and relationships that we've never experienced before. And I just want that for people. I want them to be able to strip away and connect in authentic ways where we're not carrying like a lot of stuff that doesn't even belong to us, like stuff that belongs to colonialism and the patriarchy, and you know,
I think that that's the most important thing of all of this, is like, we're healing as a human collective, as a society. And if we start in our small communities, which for me is the swinger community, and even though this has been the hardest work that I've ever experienced, right? And I knew this, and my mentor, Bridget, she's been on the podcast a few times. When I started this work, she said to me, this is going to be really hard. She's like, because the swinger community is a tough nut to crack because of all of these things that we've talked about in the show, you know? And so I was like, I'm going to do it. And then I started doing it and I was like, this is fucking terrible. I really don't like these feelings. I really want to be angry. And I really, really want to just like scream from the top of my lungs and like yell and just be angry with all of these people who aren't listening. But then I also have to remember that like we are in this society of colonialism and patriarchy, and that, you know, if we start with our small communities, like the Naughty Gym, you know, kind of starting with the body positivity and the true body positivity movement and inclusivity, and start empowering and uplifting those within different bodies, those who are not as able-bodied as, you know, people of color, all that, like when we start to join these types of communities, we can really see that it's so much more authentic. And that is so much more beautiful to have sex with people that you can be authentically yourself and enjoy these sex positive communities when you can be yourself. And I think that that's my goal, is to try to work and heal this community. And I know that you're also working toward that as well. And I absolutely love that. And I think it's much needed and very important. I do want to ask, like, what are some resources for, you know, body acceptance and body positivity that any person identifying as any gender, male or female, can look into?
So my top three favorites at the moment are Luna Matata's. She's a friend of mine, but she's a person of color, lives in a larger body, and she absolutely kicks butt when it comes to sex education. Like, anything you want to know, she has a workshop on it. And
she can teach me to enjoy anal.
I mean, yes, she actually even developed her own sex toy specifically for pegging. So,
okay.
Yes. And yeah, I don't know if you're going to be around at the end of March, but Portland is having Kink Fest, and she'll be there, and so will I. And so, yeah, come in community with us. But so she's one of my favorites. UC Logic on Instagram is amazing. Also, as like a Black woman in a larger body, does a lot of sex education. I have learned so much from them. And just watching how some of people carry themselves in the world is so healing in a lot of ways. And then Ashley Manta, who is the canisexual, she does a lot of like sex and psychedelics and things like that. Also, very body positive. And so those are the three people that I would start with. And then you kind of go from there. Like, the nice thing about the algorithm is that once you start following people, like, more people will come into your feed. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can follow me. I post about this stuff. I'm on Instagram at Cara Turnquist, or you can find me at Push Fitness Salem. But that would be where I'd start, is to just kind of find some people. And then when they say, like, hey, I did this, you know, this project with this other person, then you have another person that you can follow. And like, we can start to create our own communities. And and not that we want to lock anyone out of it, but to have to start like intentionally being inclusive.
And it's not so like, this is what I struggle with, is kind of the performative inclusivity, because we see right now that it's kind of a buzzword, right? Like, we're inclusive. And, you know, I think that that's really what I personally have dealt with. And that's why it was so important to me to actually do the work, and specifically like the anti-racism work and the body acceptance sort of work. Because I think that in the swinger community, it can look really perform. Do you know what I mean by like performative inclusivity?
To kind of like use a buzzword, but not actually back it up with actions. That can be really harmful. And you know, I think that a lot of Black and Brown creators have seen that. You know, George Floyd happened and everybody posted a black square. And then not nobody, but a lot of people didn't do the work. They didn't, like, we need to be, you know, paying Black and Brown people, people in larger bodies, people of different abilities. We need to be like supporting their work and not just saying like, hey, we, you know, for this cause, and then never say anything about it again, or stop saying something when you get backlash, because that's where I think especially white women go very wrong, is we say, hey, this is what I believe in. And then they get like, somebody comes for them. And then it's like, oh God, like, okay, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Like, I'm just not going to talk about politics. Well, guess what? Bodies are political. Whether you're in sex work, whether you're in swinger lifestyle, whether you're in fitness, like, if you're talking about bodies, you are talking about politics. You are being political.
Yeah.
And trying to straddle the fence, you're basically supporting the oppressors.
Right. And when you, if you want to be a lot, one of the words that gets thrown around within the swinger community is swinger advocate. As somebody who is an advocate in the swinger community, has worked in these spaces for quite a few years, I can honestly tell you that, like, if you want to work with these political organizations and uplift them, you also have to talk about politics. And your community is 100% affected by politics, not just sex politics and sexual freedom politics. But if you're under the sexual freedom umbrella, and that's non-monogamy, that's sex work, that is, you know, trans rights, that is LGBTQIA plus rights, that is the rights of all these communities, and sex workers and folks in the trans community tend to be the ones who are in the front lines fighting these fights. So if you haven't done your work and your biases against sex workers and against people in the trans community and against people of color who have created this sexual freedom revolution, by the way, we have everything to thank. My job as a sex worker, I have every single thing to thank to women of color, and I will do everything in my power to uplift them and empower them. But you do too. You want to wear I had this argument, sorry, but you want to wear pleasers, you want to wear stripper clothes, you want to dance on a stripper pole, then you need to start, you know, doing that in a way where you're breaking down your biases against the women of color who created that environment for you so that you could wear those pleasers, do those dance moves, twerk. That was all created by them. So I think that that's the biggest part of the swinger community, is learning how to heal and learning how to check our biases. And, you know, I think it's our job too, me and you who are starting to do this work or have done a lot of work, to really talk about our journey with that. And that can help people. And if people don't want to listen to us, that's okay. But if it helps one person, that's what matters the most.
Yeah. And to not expect perfection from yourself, right, or anyone else.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of us, that's another part of the patriarchy. And, you know, like we want to be perfect. And so it's so scary to talk about racism. It can be scary to talk about politics. I remember the first time I posted about politics on my business page, I like broke out into a sweat. Because I wasn't used to it. And I've always been taught, don't talk about politics, just be neutral. And I'm like, no, I can't not. But it's really scary. And so it's okay to be uncomfortable, and it's okay to be wrong. And so I would just tell, like, if you have felt the urge to, like, to speak out or to join a movement, know that you're going to mess up. And that, like, perfection is not the goal. It is learning and trying to be better.
And listening, I think too, like, for me, because I know that I'm very passionate. Obviously, I'm very passionate about specifically sex worker rights and, you know, sexual freedom rights. And I know that, like, I tend to create imaging and wording and all that, which can come off very angry. And it almost like triggers people, because I'm triggered and I'm angry and I don't think before I do. And I just kind of, and I know that about myself. And I know that, like, I'm not, you know, and I'll say things. I've also been in this, you know, I'm in social media space. So, you know, a lot of the work that I've done is like, okay, well, I'm going to say this and it's going to get views and that's going to, but in reality, you know, but I'm still like in that headspace, right? So I think that it's important to, like, for me personally, to really reflect on that and listen to what people say about that. Like, a lot of people have had an issue with my hairstyle and me talking about, you know, appropriation of the sex work culture. And I'm like, listen, I have done a lot of work with my hair and dealing with that, you know, behind the scenes. And I've talked to a lot of people about it, and it healed, you know, it's a community of people with locks, right? We're brothers and sisters, regardless of the color of our skin. We all know that they're universal to all cultures, all that. But I've done that work. Have you done that work with sex work? Do you do what you can to uplift sex workers and all that? And so getting that backlash was hard, and it sucked, and it hurt my feelings. But I needed to sit with those feelings to really, like, learn from them and grow from them and accept that this is what's my social media and what you know, my platform is going to be for a while is a lot of triggered people who are also working through their own biases and their own feelings and their own traumas. And we're doing this together, you know, and I'm not exempt from making mistakes and I'm not exempt from saying the wrong thing. And I'm probably going to do it again and again and again.
Yeah, same. And I think there's something really beautiful about that. Like, I love the way that you show up on social media and you can say like, hey, like I did this and I thought about it and I probably would do it differently the next time. Or, hey, I did this and yeah, I am angry and my angry is like, should be honored. My anger should be honored because there's something there. And like, and it's so authentic and I really like it. And you can show growth, like, and you can like show other people that that's possible too. So, mm-hmm. you know, and online, it's so easy to expect perfection of people or to just like try to pick a fight because you're a jerk. But like, you know, it's, but I love the way that you show up and I'm really grateful to be able to see, you advocate in the way that you do. And like, even like there could, you know, there might be things that you and I disagree on at some time, mm-hmm. some point too. And that's also okay. And I still would love to be in community with you. And, you know, so yeah.
Well, yeah, because diversity just doesn't just mean diverse ways of looking in your body. It also means diverse opinions and diverse kind of, you know, we come from different parts of the country. We come, and a lot of times in swinger spaces, we come from, you know, we go to these resorts and like somebody's from, you know, Washington and California. And then there's somebody from New York, then somebody from Ohio, somebody from Florida. So like, it's beautiful to see these communities kind of coming together because, and we do have diverse, you know, knowledge and a cultural understanding. So I think that there's a lot of great work being done. And I hope that who's ever listening to this, you know, can follow Kara and really kind of see the, I guess, the stuff that you're also putting out on social media and continue to be authentic. Follow the Naughty Gym.
Yes.
Kara, tell us a little bit before we end. Tell us a little bit about what your new position with the Naughty Gym is, what that's going to look like, and how people can get involved with that.
Yes. So I just took a position with the Naughty Gym as their pelvic floor specialist and their mobility specialist, but I'm also doing sex and intimacy coaching there. So right as of now, you could hire me as your one-on-one coach. So say you just had a baby and you want to know like, how can I do like the Naughty Gym workouts in a way where I don't pee myself every time I do a burpee? I got you. Or maybe you just like want to become more mobile, or there are things that you like certain sex positions you'd like to do that, you know, your hips just don't like, and can we find a way to make that work? Mm-hmm. So I can work with you there. I can create an entire program for you, or I can work with you in modifying in a very specific to your body way the workouts that they post. So once you join the Naughty Gym, you get added to this app. You can talk with one another. You can flirt with one another. You can post your successes. You can just watch and do the workouts, like whatever you want, but it is a community. And I just love it. It's where I feel like I really was able to kind of grow and find my authentic self within the swinger space. And so I'm really excited to be working with them so that I can give back some of, you know, what I got from them.
And I think, you know, and there's also a Facebook group. They have the Naughty Gym has their own, they have their own podcasts in their own communities. And, you know, if you're feeling as though you want to truly find an inclusive community that is not performative, like it's very real, mm-hmm. and it's very much centered in love and growth, not only mentally, but physically as well. Like they do a lot of like mental health stuff too. So I think that the Naughty Gym is a good place to start. So if you're listening to this, which I'm going to link everything that we talked about today. Yeah. And are there any last words for my listeners in terms of like body positivity, body acceptance? And yeah.
Yeah, well, the first thing that comes to mind is that you are worthy right now, full stop. That how you are showing up right now in your body is just fine.
Yeah, and I agree for sure. And you are accepted. And even, you know, the wonderful thing about swinger communities, and this is the last thing I'll say, and then, but the wonderful thing is if there are communities that you maybe don't feel safe in, you don't feel accepted in your body, there are tons of other beautiful communities that will accept you and will love you and will be inclusive to who you are as a person, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender identity, regardless of your, you know, color of your skin or the size of your body. So thank you, Cara, for riding on the Pineapple Express with me. And until next time, guys.